Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
What's up, frickin' weirdos?
My name is Kevin, and I'm the host of Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. This is a conversational podcast based on guest experiences and encounters with paranormal, cryptids, aliens, spirituality, mental health, as well as conspiracies. If these topics interest you, you can find me on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, as well as YouTube and Rumble. If you have an encounter or an experience of something that you can't quite explain, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at wheretheweirdonesare@gmail.com, where_theweirdonesare on Instagram, and where_theweirdonesare on Facebook. I hope to hear from you, my friends. Question everything and stay weird.
Are you tired of this reality? Us too. How about once a week you take a break and visit a different reality? In Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex, we bring you a comedy podcast full of ghosts, werewolves, gentle vampires, and Frankenstein monstrosities made of 72 people stitched together. And somehow, that's not even the strange stuff. A proud member of the Podmoth Network. Every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. There's nothing wrong with your audio. I've been a ghost this whole time. Shyamalan twist.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us once again for another brutal, bizarre, and boozy episode. How are you today, Mom?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain. Awesome. With the long Labor Day weekend. Well, I guess that was last week, but
that was last week. That's okay. We recorded ahead of time.
Yeah. Oh, behind the veil, breaking the fourth wall, yes. Everybody.
Yes.
What story do you have for us today, Mom?
I have a story that I have never heard of before, and it's a weird war story. From Ooh, Central Oregon.
Stories.
You.
Is this the this balloon? Is a, it's not the balloon because you know about the balloon.
It's not the balloon. Nope.
I love war stories.
It's a war story. Okay. But excited. It is a war story that I was very unexpected. I didn't know existed. So.
Okay.
Yeah. What story have you got for us?
I'm going to be talking about Watergate.
Oh.
Yes.
And okay, cool.
Just a preface, there's a lot of names that I'm going to say that I don't know who they are. Like, I could only look into so many names, but
yeah.
There's a lot of names implicated in this. And anyways, to go with it, I have the reporter cocktail. Or, sorry, journalist. Not reporter.
Journalist.
Potato, potato, but.
Close.
This shit sounds gross. So it's 2 ounces of gin, 1/2 ounce dry vermouth, 1/2 ounce sweet vermouth, 2 dashes of fresh lemon juice, 2 dashes of curacao, and 1 dash of Angostura bitters.
Okay.
Combine ingredients in a mixing glass and fill with ice. Stir well for 20 seconds and strain into a chilled cocktail glass.
It's kind of pretty.
It looks like the Hudson River.
Well,
pretty.
That's true. It is like
gross.
The color, but okay. I strained my lemon juice, but there's still particles in it. And so, yes, you are correct there. It does kind of look like a
Hudson
dirty river.
River. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's give this a try. Okay. I think it's going down the drain already, but let's give it a try.
It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, I can go without that.
Well, I'm not even trying that a second
pretty
time.
Pretty gross. No. Maybe if you like martinis, but
that
The good thing about a martini is the pickled or olive juice. So, like, that's just a straight, gross fucking drink.
I think that might be the worst drink we have ever had.
That beats the Godfather? That Godfather was pretty gross.
I think it was bad, but this is worse. This is worse.
I just don't like
if you gave me this or the Godfather, I'm pretty sure I'd drink the Godfather instead.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't ever drink that, anybody. Blah.
Gross. So let's talk about Watergate. Watergate is a political scandal involving Richard Nixon that the Nixon campaign didn't in attempt to gain an edge over the Democratic Party while running for re-election. Nixon was unaware of the plans until after they happened, and here's what transpired. On January 27, 1972, the Committee for Re-election of the President, also known as CRP, which is what I'm going to call it because that's easier to say than the whole phrase, but they came up with an idea to steamroll the Democratic Party in Nixon's upcoming election against George McGovern. The plan was to break into the Watergate complex in Washington, D.C., which housed the headquarters for the Democratic National Committee, also known as the DNC. The plan was presented to the heads of the CRP, which included Attorney General John Mitchell, which the fact that the Attorney General's on this team and he allowed this to happen is mind-blowing, but... Well, I guess if he's Attorney General, he could not prosecute. Okay.
You'd think that he would be impartial, but it doesn't sound like he was.
Well, he agreed to the plan of committing crimes as an Attorney General. Like, you know they're going to find shit out. Like, you know the judicial process of, The plan that was presented was called Operation Gemstone. Gemstone consisted of a set of different operations to sabotage the DNC, and this operation was proposed by Gordon Liddy. The meeting about the Operation Gemstone began as Liddy's plan to disrupt the DNC convention and also protect the Republican National Committee convention. He then started to explain the plan. First step of Operation Gemstone included kidnapping specific radical leaders of the DNC and other political figures who might disrupt the RNC and hold them hostage in Mexico.
Okay.
Yes.
Probably shouldn't do that.
The second step of Operation Gemstone was Operation Turquoise, which involved sabotaging the HVAC system in the DNC to make people more irritated. Third step of the operation was Operation Ruby, which involved planting spies in the campaigns of Democratic parties, which I'm sure that happens constantly. But the final operation was Operation Coal. And it's so racist to name it Coal. But the operation was to undermine black Democratic politicians in hopes of preventing black voters to vote Democratic.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Very racist.
Especially because all the rest of them were actual gemstone names.
Yeah. And then just Coal. Fucked up.
Coal. I mean, if they want, they could have said Onyx. That's a gemstone. True.
Yeah, that's
black. I mean, they shouldn't have done it either way, but.
Or Obsidian. Okay. Yeah, there's plenty of gemstones, but.
Something.
So the head of the RNC initially denied Operation Gemstone, but Liddy came back the next week and proposed a reduced version of the operation. And so the initial plan would have cost about $1 million or about $7 million today, but the reduced plan cost about $500,000 or $3.5 million.
Okay. Still a lot of money.
Liddy didn't plan this all by himself, too. He had help from former CIA agents Howard Hunt and James McCord.
Okay.
That immediately throws a red flag in there. CIA should not be involved in American politics, but
Nope.
In May, McCord enlisted FBI agent Alfred Baldwin to wiretap two phones at the Watergate complex. McCord put Baldwin up in the hotel across the street from Watergate, along with Baldwin's hand-picked team that consisted of four Cuban freedom fighters that Baldwin's friend Howard Hunt recruited. Which is, I think this is right around Cold War time, so. Or no, might be right. No, because it was after World War II.
Would be.
It'd be around that time, but. Weird that they used some Cuban National Army guys, but.
Yeah.
On May 28th, Baldwin and his team broke into the Watergate facility armed with cameras, film canisters, and wiretaps. The plan was to take pictures of as many political documents as possible and tap the phones of executive director of the Association of State Democratic Chairman Robert Oliver. That's a long-ass title. And the other phone tap was used for DNC Chairman Larry O'Brien. The wiretaps weren't securely placed, so the CRP arranged for the team to make a second break-in. On June 17, 1972, the team sat in their hotel room overlooking the Watergate complex once again, planning out their break-in. The team quietly made their way inside the building and put some tape over the door latch to prevent it from locking. So like the inlet side. Yeah. They proceeded to replace the wiretaps that were once placed incorrectly, I guess. They determined that they weren't working properly, so they re-wiretapped it. They grabbed more pictures of the political documents. However, security guard Frank Willis noticed some tape covering the door latch that they had placed earlier. He removed it, thought nothing of it, but when he checked the door shortly after, he noticed that the tape was back.
Yeah.
Frank called the police and a nearby undercover unit called the Bum Squad because they were dressed up like hippies crime and like drug deals and stuff like that. But so a group of undercover cops that didn't look like cops at all at the time came over to investigate. Baldwin was in the hotel being a spotter for the team, but got distracted by the TV show Attack of the Puppet People. Which I had never heard of, but I guess
was on TV
at the time. So this FBI agent got distracted. He was supposed to be spotting out the window looking at Watergate, and he just got distracted by the TV.
Bullshit.
So he failed to alert his team of the undercover cops approaching the complex. By the time he noticed them, they were already on the sixth floor approaching the team. Yeah.
No.
So he was really not paying attention for a long amount of time.
Yeah. I'm saying that that isn't a real excuse.
Well, if he had actually alerted them, somebody bought him off. Away with it. I think they would have gotten away with it if he didn't. Anyway, so the five men were arrested, not including Baldwin. Police found lockpicks, door jimmies, $2,300 in cash, a police radio receiver, 40 rolls of film, two cameras, and three pen-sized tear gas guns, which I didn't know existed.
Me neither. That sounds
like some CIA shit right there.
Yeah.
I think I need one. I tried my best to look it up, but this is like a really obscure thing to find. But I think it's like...
Yeah, I would think so.
A pen that has like a hammer, so it looks like, you know those pens that you like switch the little dot to like pop, so it looks like one of those, but you pull it back instead and it's got a spring that hits a primer and shoots a tear gas ball, basically.
That's fun. I want
one. It sounds cool as fuck, but
I
don't think the civilian population necessarily had that available to them. Two of the men that were arrested had Howard Hunt's name and contact information on their body. You'd think that you would throw that away, but
Yes.
After this was discovered, the contents of Hunt's safe were destroyed by Patrick Gray, the director of the FBI at the time. So Howard Hunt's safe in his office, just the FBI decided they didn't need that information, destroyed all the information in his safe.
Okay.
When news broke, Nixon became aware, and since his own administration is quoted as saying, "Who was the asshole who did that?" So Nixon, when he found out, he's like, "Who the fuck did that?" Nixon also ordered the CIA to block the FBI investigation into the funding behind the burglary. This was recorded and is now known as the Watergate tapes. So okay. After he found, he didn't know about the whole scheme beforehand, but when he found out, he was like, "We can't let this get out because it's going to ruin the election." Oh. So that's when the tapes came out.
That's where the scandal came from.
We need to cover up this investigation.
I see.
When questioned about the burglary, Nixon said his team was investigating the matter and no one from the White House was responsible for the burglary. All while this was happening, John Mitchell's wife, Martha, was being kidnapped by him. Martha knew one of the arrested burglars as a family friend, and John knew that she would probably talk to media about this, which would link the Mitchell family to the Watergate scandal.
Oh.
John had his security detail hold her in a hotel in California. She tried to leave multiple times and was beaten when she tried to escape.
Oh, shit.
She called a reporter, Helen Thomas, and said that she was leaving her husband due to this treatment, but the call ended abruptly. A reporter spotted her and noticed that she was covered in bruises. Yeah, so she...
That's not good.
She was in the hotel in California for a while and was spotted in New York when they were moving her. And she was covered in bruises and said, like, they would beat me when I tried to leave, like, through the balcony. Because she tried to hop out the balcony and stuff. And the security hung, like, that's why the call ended abruptly. The security came in and forced her to end the call with the reporter.
Okay.
Press figured out that one of the Watergate burglars was a they were funded by the Republican Party security aide. So one of the security aides, Baldwin, he denied involvement, but the bank transfers were linked to him. And so it was also discovered that one of the checks that was signed over to the CRP, because people make political donations, like,
right,
this check that this guy signed over from Kenneth, can't remember his name, but this dude signed over a political donation, and that was immediately transferred over to Bernard Baker, which was deposited into a Mexican bank. Bernard Baker was one of the burglars. So that's how they were able to track it to the CRP, because it was a political donation that just got sent directly to him.
Yeah. Oops.
Barker tried to use foreign banks to hide the money, but the records were kept for 6 months. So their secret was exposed, basically. Because as soon as they found out it went to that bank, they're like, "Oh, yeah, we keep records for 6 months." But Hunt and Liddy were convicted of conspiracy, burglary, wiretapping laws, and were arrested in September 1972. Nixon came up with a new plan to try and save his upcoming election by covering up the cover-up.
Oops.
Nixon went before the nation and announced the resignation, quote-unquote, of two of his closest friends and associates, Bob Halderman and Bob Ehrlichman, who were the heads of the CRP that approved the Watergate plan, or Operation Gemstone, I should say.
Yeah.
Nixon threw his friends under the bus to try and save his ass. On July 13th, 1973, the Senate voted to investigate this further and discovered that the Oval Office had recording devices in it. Investigator Archibald Cox subpoenaed the tapes, but Nixon cited his executive privileges as president and refused to hand them over. Nixon ordered three different people who were above Cox to fire him, but all three resigned in protest rather than fire Cox.
Wow. Because
there was a new attorney general. That attorney general resigned when Nixon ordered him to fire Cox. And then two other people underneath him that were basically Cox's boss. They're like, wow. We're not fucking firing this guy. I think he's right. So we're going to let it play. But
my goodness.
On March 1st, 1974, a grand jury, which I think we need to get rid of grand juries because they seal up shit and hide it forever. Like all those prostitution rings, all of them went to grand jury and all the information was sealed to protect victims, which I think we do need to protect victims, but you can just bleep out the victim's name. Explain everything else that fucking happened in the trial. Like, anyways, that's my
tangent. There needs to be some protection for people for sure.
Like the Epstein went to a grand jury, and that's why all the court documents are sealed, because it's they can do that at a grand jury. Other types of like investigation or not investigations, but like, you know, the other types you can get, you can do FOIA requests and stuff on, but you can't do that for a grand jury.
Interesting.
But anyways, on March 1st, 1974, a grand jury indicted seven Nixon aides. Haldeman, Herlickman, Mitchell, Colson, Strachman, Martin, and Parkinson for conspiring to hinder the Watergate investigation. That's a tongue twister. The prosecutor persuaded them not to indict Nixon because he was the active president. The Supreme Court ordered the tapes to be released, and now Nixon was caught red-handed. On July 27, 1974, the House voted 27-11 to impeach Nixon for abuse of power. On the evening of August 8, 1974, Nixon resigned. Nixon was pardoned in September by President Ford. But there's some other weird things that happened that I'll just touch on briefly.
Okay.
Howard Hunt's wife died in a plane crash on December of 1972. She was also a CIA agent and was found with $10,000 and $100 bills meant for the Watergate burglars.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I tried to look up like this plane crash. There was another plane crash that happened that I can't remember the exact name of, but it happened earlier that year in July, I believe. And whenever you look up plane crash 1972, even if you type in December, you can't find information on that plane crash. So I don't know what happened, but Howard Hunt's wife, the CIA guy that hired all the fucking burglars, his wife fucking died with 10 grand and fucking hundreds.
Wow.
Did
she really die?
Probably. They probably killed her.
Did they relocate her somewhere else?
I think there was like 50 something people and 46 of them died and she was one of them. Like that's all I could find on the plane crash. So some people survived, but it was like a commercial flight, it looked like.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that plane was crashed intentionally, probably to silence her, but who knows?
Maybe.
Another weird thing, allegedly. Jim Hogan, in an author, claimed that Watergate scandal was an effort to cover up a prostitution ring that was discovered and exploited by the CIA to trap political figures and blackmail them for leverage. So I tried to look into this, and it's one of those things that it's like hard to find real solid evidence of, but there was a couple of reporters that discovered that the CIA like had found a DC phone prostitute, like call girls there. I don't think it was even real prostitution. I think it was just like, oh baby, like sultry music playing. Like,
I think
it was that coming from the political, like from the DNC. Cause I think it was Scott Olson. He got caught calling these call girls from the Watergate facility. So people think that it was kind of like a try and cover it up, but that doesn't make any sense because it implicates the Nixon Foundation more than the CIA to try and cover up a call girl center in the DNC. Like, but then CIA could have an operation to blackmail the Democratic National Party. don't know. It's one of those things that you, if you think about it, you can let your mind roam, but doesn't seem necessarily plausible in the end. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of weird shit that happened within the Watergate scandal. There was a reporter who was ex-Navy. The very first story he published was the Watergate scandal, and it blew up. He was the one who published it. It's like, seems a little fishy.
Whoops. Yeah.
Seems like CIA was involved. I don't know if necessarily. I think their intent was to actually do Operation Gemstone and get information on the DNC, and then they got caught and they just threw Nixon under the bus. They're like,
sounds like it. Yeah.
Whoops. It's his fault, not ours.
Wow.
Because this was also around the time of the Iran-Contra. Nixon started the war on drugs, and so CIA was like, maybe we get him out the way and start making money by funneling cocaine into Los Angeles. But that's my conspiracy brain. I know it's probably not what happened, but that's what my conspiracy brain says.
Could be. Who knows?
Let's hear about your story, Mom.
Okay. It's a war story, but it's not a typical war story. This is a war story from Oregon. And it is about the Oregon Range Wars. Have you ever heard of that?
I don't think so. Doesn't sound familiar.
I hadn't heard of it either. And somebody mentioned it to me recently, and I
like
went
chicken coops,
diving
like free range?
To look for
like
information.
Farmers are fighting for it?
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
Okay, that was just a guess out of nowhere, but
nope. A few decades after the state of Oregon, what's that?
Oregon has a lot of farms, so that makes that was my first guess.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, I won't interrupt anymore.
That's okay. You're fine. A few decades after the state of Oregon was founded, disputes over land got serious. You might be thinking this was a dispute between settlers and the Native American tribes that had lived on the land for centuries. However, this land fight was between different groups of settlers. At the time, land was considered open range and essentially available to public use. Cattle ranchers used the land without much trouble until the sheep showed up. In the late 1800s, sheep herders made their way into the same pasture lands in central and eastern Oregon as the cattle were, and this is where the problem came from. For a while, the two groups coexisted, but around 1895, that started to change. The cows and sheep on the same land started out okay, but then it turned into a big problem because cattle use and sheep use of land is different. Cattle basically just eat the grass and then any weeds they leave alone. So they're not, there's some vegetation left behind. They're picky eaters. They only want to eat the grass. Sheep, on the other hand, eat everything. They graze on any vegetation that they can get their little teeth on. And with sheep eating everything, that meant there was no grass for the cattle, but it also caused changes in the pasture lands because there was no grass, no weeds, no vegetation, nothing. So the topsoil was barren, became dry, and then grass wouldn't grow back. So it just became dry topsoil and nothing grew there. So the cows had nothing to eat, even worse.
This kind of
the cowboys
like
in charge of the cows.
I haven't watched Yellowstone, but it sounds like Yellowstone.
Well, there's with Yellowstone, there's definitely a land issue, but not because the land is being destroyed by one.
But they're like cowboys
versus another.
And they need their animals to eat the grass, and they're okay.
Yeah. The cowboys in charge of the cows also reported the sheep would leave the pasture smelling badly and their cows refused to use the land. Sheep would often contaminate the watering holes, which caused the cattle to become sick. Cattle ranchers soon realized the problems the sheep were causing, and they were not willing to give up the land. They didn't want to share.
If sheep and because didn't have fleece, we'd exterminate them like the dodo birds. That's the only reason we have sheep is maybe. For fleece. They're disgusting.
Well, but
they're
a lot gross of people,
animals. They're disgusting. They have creepy eyes. They're
they
fucking
do.
Gross.
I hate their eyes.
I hate them.
Sheep and goat eyes are ugh. Not for me. But you like lamb. You like to
I
eat
do.
Lamb.
I do, but I also
so
like
that's
steaks.
Sheep.
I like steak more.
Same.
Lamb is only
I don't
good
like
in
lamb.
Dishes that traditionally
Euros.
Use lamb. Like, yeah, yes. like Euros and Middle Eastern food. Goat and lamb is really good in those. But other than, I'm not eating
nope.
a fucking lamb chop. I don't think I've
not
ever
eaten
had
either.
A lamb chop.
Gross. No.
I just had like shredded lamb or like.
I would never anyways. Have cooked lamb chop for you because it's gross. I don't eat lamb. I don't know. It's I can't.
It tastes like
it's
beef. I can't tell the difference between.
Gamey.
It's like no. It's like a mix between like granted, most of the lamb I buy is ground lamb, and that just tastes like a mixture of pork and beef. It's like pretty good actually.
I don't I like think it. I would like it.
But you don't like.
I don't like
venison or other gamey.
I don't like
either,
gamey.
But.
Nope. Nope. You, no,
that
you.
Has that moose that you don't. You haven't done anything with the moose yet.
I don't know if he has that still.
Oh.
I don't think he has.
If he
it.
Did, I. He gave me some, and I made hunter's pie with it, which is basically it's just
was,
shepherd's pie with moose instead of.
Was
beef,
it a long time ago?
It was like a year ago. Yeah, probably.
Oh, he used it all. I don't know. Or maybe he just doesn't bring it up because he knows that I won't want to eat it.
I think it. You just have to season it right. Like to get kind of like combat that gamey flavor a little bit. That you have to use more
no.
herbs and spice. Like thyme, rosemary,
no.
some fucking Italian seasoning.
Nope.
And the, you cooked
I'm still not.
You cooked a moose down.
Nope.
You get some frozen vegetables, cover it in mashed potatoes, cook in the oven. Ooh, it was delicious.
No.
It was delicious.
Okay, so. I'm out.
I don't
well,
think
the cattle
know.
Herders, I, the cattle ranchers right, so. Didn't like the sheep herders either. And okay. I think it was
with the
probably because sheep taste gross. You know, but this is the Wild West of the 1800s, so it wasn't a nice request to take the sheep elsewhere. They were like, no, you can't have the land, even though it's open range, which is public land use. They were like, no, we're gonna get you off the land. The cattlemen organized into paramilitary groups with the goal of eliminating the sheep and the sheep herders. The group, the paramilitary groups, refer to themselves as the sheep shooters. Not sharpshooters, but sheep shooters.
I like that.
And soon,
that's a funny name.
Several counties had similar organizations who tasked themselves with keeping the sheep off the land. Typically, the sheep shooters would surprise the sheep camp and capture and often beat the herders. The sheep would all be killed either by shooting, stabbing, or clubbing the animals. So very violent end for these sheep. Yes.
Sheep
on rare occasions,
though.
There were shootouts. What's that?
Sheep don't know what's happening, though. They're
no, they don't. But
any
still,
animal with like the horizontal eyes, they don't know what's happening. It's like a fish.
I heard
it's like
about
a mammal fish.
Yeah, they're just swimming around in there. I heard this story that the sheep were pitchforked to death. I couldn't find the reality of that, so I don't know if that's true.
Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, basically.
Oof.
There were some shootouts between the cattlemen and the sheep herders. There was even a handbook published for the sheep shooters with a code of behaviors. They agreed if the herder was killed during the attack, they would bury the body at the site. But if one of the sheep shooters or the cowboys were to be killed, then they would bring the body home and not mention the circumstances. They were just like, he died. We're not going to tell you how. There were also mandated to lie in court about any attacks if they were ever brought up on charges. So, you know, keep your mouth shut kind of mindset for the sheep shooting cowboys. One of the biggest sheep massacres occurred during a single event in 1903 when over 2,400 sheep were herded off of a cliff.
See, cows wouldn't do that, I don't think. Cows would run along the cliff.
I don't know. The sheep that survived the fall were then shot and killed. So all the sheep died. A year later, in three separate counties, there were different operations that killed over 6,000 sheep. Sheep weren't the only deaths associated with the sheep shooters, potentially.
A store owner named... imagining, like, Bloods and Crips. The cow people are throwing up C's and the sheep people are throwing up S's.
Yeah. Two hands making an S.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sheep squad. Yep.
Sheep squad. There you go. Well, John Kahn was a store owner in Silver Lake, and some believe that he was the only casualty of the sheep, the only potential casualty of the sheep wars. He was known to residents of the area as being sympathetic to the sheep herders. In March 1904, John disappeared. His body was found on a trail by a passing cowboy 7 weeks later. The body was laying on its back with arms stretched overhead and legs out straight with the feet close together. The clothes were neat, tidy, and dry.
So he was like,
which is
in
weird,
a chillaxing position like that?
Yeah, I guess. Like just, I don't know if he was like that or if his arms were straight up. I don't know.
Okay.
But the fact that his clothes were dry and neat, basically, was weird because it had rained there recently and he'd been missing for weeks. So if he had been laying there the whole time, his body should have been dirty and his clothes should have been dirty and wet.
But also, 1901, like... I feel like it's very easy to go missing for weeks. If you just leave your house, then you're missing for weeks. Maybe he was just...
For sure.
Get, like, laying
for
low.
For sure.
And then they found him while he was fucking napping in the sun and just...
Well...
Killed him.
But he was dead.
Yeah, but...
The cowboy found his dead body.
Maybe the guys... He was laying low and the guys found him and then just killed him while he was laying low.
No, like he'd been dead for a while, I think.
Oh. Cook it in the sun. Turn it into
a raisin. I mean, the state of the body, I don't know if there was a description about the state of the body, but the area where his body was found had been searched multiple times, and they should have found the body sooner if it had been there the whole time, essentially.
Okay.
So it wasn't like his body was in a weird remote location. I mean, remote for that area, but it was on a trail. So people going in multiple directions
would have
could
seen
see
it.
Him and nobody saw him until 7 weeks later. So the theory is that his body was placed there at some point recent to the discovery.
Another theory. If he's put in relaxing mode, maybe they just saw a dude laying relaxing and they thought, okay, he's just chilling.
Maybe. To add further confusion to the mix, John died from a gunshot wound and his own gun was found next to his body. A bullet passed through his heart, cut the spinal cord, and lodged in the spine. Two physicians agreed this would have caused his death. He also had a second gunshot wound that was not fatal. It was determined that the fatal shot came first and the non-fatal shot was second. The confusing part is the fact that his death was ruled a suicide by the coroner. Even though
people that commit suicide don't shoot themselves in the heart.
And they don't shoot themselves twice.
It's much harder. Yeah. That's another thing. Yeah. Shout out Gary Webb. But
you know,
I think it's I'd prefer to get shot by a modern bullet. Those like in 1801 they are using like ball ammo.
Well, that shit just this was 1904, 1903, 1904.
Still close enough to 1901. But
it's old timey. It's yeah, not a modern using, gun.
Like, a modern gun would go through you all the way. But you get shot with a fucking...
True.
Old school fucking flintlock. Not flintlock, but like... Basically,
something.
I'm exaggerating. They have shitty guns.
Right, a musket. You know, he's yeah. like, it's not old enough that he's pounding down a musket ball.
So he did have a musket. He was pounding it down, shot himself, and had enough time to pound down a second one.
Yeah, a second one. I don't know. I didn't see anywhere the caliber of gun. Like, the gun that he had next to him was a pistol. A revolver. I don't know what the caliber was that killed him.
Probably whatever.
Regardless, though, he had
45 probably
two gunshot wounds. And the doctors say the fatal shot was first.
He doesn't have a semi-auto pistol. It's really hard to get off two shots with a fucking single action if you're dead. So it's clearly, yeah, he's clearly murdered.
Also, there were no powder burns on his body. If he shot himself, there would have been powder burns. Friends and family claimed that John would not have killed himself. Plus, the angle of entry of the fatal wound could not have come from a self-inflicted shot. Of course, due to the turmoil in the area over the range wars, people pointed fingers at the sheep shooters, but no one was ever charged.
But he was in support of the sheep shooters, right?
He was, so... That he was in, he was in favor of the sheep herders, not the sheep shooters.
I see. I'm
confused. So people were saying that it was the cowboys that killed him because he was supporting the sheep herders.
Okay. Yeah. I heard sheep and I was like, wait, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. But some people don't think that's what happened. If the sheep shooters did actually kill him, then they broke their own rule by not burying him immediately. And why wasn't his body found for weeks in such an obviously visible location? Plus, why were his clothes in good condition since the body was outside for nearly 2 weeks or 7 weeks or whatever, multiple weeks? A recent researcher actually has an alternate theory. She believes another local man with a criminal history killed him and hid the body the whole time, then moved it to the location where it was found.
That's what I was thinking.
However, she wrote a book.
He probably got killed by just some, it was like end of cowboy time. So just got killed by some dude and you can't, there's no forensics. You can't do DNA, just get killed by a dude.
Yeah. There's no way to determine the real killer, but I think it's safe to assume that John didn't kill himself. But let's go back to the main story, because we don't even know if it had anything to do with the range wars and the sheep shooters and the cowboys and the sheep herders. But regardless, in 1906, the government started regulating the use of public lands, and essentially open ranges were ended. And it forced ranchers to purchase the land they wanted to use. Now landowners could control which animals were grazing, and it was on their own land. So the sheep wars were over.
That's really interesting. I'm going to go download Red Dead Redemption 2 after this, because that sounds just like that. But
does it?
Yeah, just like it's basically cowboy times. That's kind of when it ended. Is around the early 1900s. So it sounds like they were kind of doing like Yellowstone cowboy type shit.
And everybody's fighting over land.
Yeah.
Do you have a chaser really for us?
I do. My chaser is for cat owners specifically.
Oh.
Because I think dogs okay. would probably get harmed by it. I don't think it would. I don't think you could do it because you have dogs and your dogs are crazy. But
yes, they are.
So if everyone's frustrated like I am with buying your cat's toys and they don't fucking use them, there's yes. a toy that every single person that's bought this toy that I know of, their cat loves it. And so it's called a...
Really?
It was a toy from when I was a kid, actually. You might remember it. Hex Bugs? Do you remember buying me those?
Oh, yeah.
The little... Like, it's like a little bug-shaped thing that has a vibrating motor in it, and it has little...
And it wiggles like, around.
Yeah, it literally yeah. just squirmed around like a bug. I bought those on Amazon. My cat fucking loves them. Like,
is that why it's...
You have to be careful with... Huh?
It was in the Amazon cart this morning.
Oh, I tried to add it to the list. Yeah, I was trying to find, like, because the one I bought, it was, like, super sketchy, like, weird version on Amazon, but it was the cheapest one just okay. to see if she liked it. But I found a big pack of them for, like, $20 that look like they do better, but... She absolutely loves them. She doesn't, she attacks it a little bit, but she just likes to walk it, like watch it squirm around. I'll put it on like for like 15 That's minutes so and she weird. Just captivated, just staring at it. Cause it
really
all it does is it just goes in circles and like eventually like changes to like a bigger circle and then goes back into circles. So like huh. the only thing is you have to watch it. If you have like furniture that can go under, it'll get lost and just vibrate yeah. on the wall. And you have to like
right.
move your couch and get it out, but
that would be annoying.
Yeah, it, you could set up
especially
like a
if it were like
it
under your fridge.
Yeah, it can't get over the little lip in my kitchen, so
oh,
I just
okay.
put it over in the dining area and it crawls around and shit. But Lulu loves it; she just watches it as long as it's going. She doesn't attack it that often, but she just sits there and just like stares at it. So if your cat's being annoying and you're like, "Stop meowing at the door," you're not getting out. It's like. Just put
right.
a little hex bug on the ground.
That's cool. I might have to get it and try it.
Your dogs.
And then
so
not let the dogs. I'd have to put it away.
Juno would eat that thing and then you just hear in her yes. stomach. Like
in her belly.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a good tip though.
What's your chaser, Mom?
My chaser is a watch recommendation for, well, I have to say this. So far, I haven't finished the show yet, but it's a show on Apple called Hello Tomorrow. We recently started it, and it's about a salesman. It's futuristic but retro. So there's
okay, people I know the vibe.
That...
Yeah.
Yeah, they are selling developments on the moon. So like houses and housing developments they're selling to people to live on the moon, but it's set in like the 1950s, 1960s, but it's also futuristic. So like the cars are all hover cars, but they're designed to look like cars from the 40s and 50s. And
it sounds like a game, Fallout 4.
It's
like
weird.
Set in the future, but it's got the red, like the, what is it? What's that design stuff that they had in the 70s? What's that called?
Mid-century modern?
Mid-century modern? Like with the...
Yeah, there's a lot of mid-mod stuff in there.
Or like, maybe it was the 40s, like where they had the fancy... The cool looking refrigerators, like the blue ones with the shell, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that aesthetic, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the whole thing is kind of, is very retro, but then it's got a futuristic swing to it as well. So there's robots everywhere and hover cars and it's, so far I'm
Real
enjoying
life Jetsons?
It, but I haven't
What's
finished it,
called?
It yet. Hello Tomorrow.
Hello Tomorrow. On what? What's it on?
Apple.
Apple? Oh, fuck. I don't have Apple on my TV.
Uh-oh. Okay. I have to get it for you.
There's a lot of good shows on Apple.
There are.
That one.
Ted Lasso.
With Casey.
Shrinkage.
What's that motherfucker's name? Casey. The. Where they had like the heist that went wrong. I can't remember the name of it. I did As a Chaser before, but it's got Casey Affleck in it.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think what it is now.
That's one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. But thanks for listening, everybody.
Awesome.
We should wrap this up before
rambling.
Off,
we just start rambling.
Yeah.
All right. Love you, bud.
Love you too, Mom. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.